Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Unity Center of Light, located here in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We always like to remind you that we have a Zoom fellowship service every Sunday morning at 10:30. And if you'd like to join that, you can always find a link in your e-newsletter or a weekly update. And we would love to have you come and join us, because you hear this message in meditation like you're hearing on YouTube, but you also get a chance to interact with other Unity folks, hear discussion about the message, hear music. It's just a time for you to be in fellowship. So please consider joining us. And if you do not get the e-newsletter or weekly update, you can always go to our website, which is unitycenteroflight.org, and there you can find the link. So please join us on Sunday morning. Also, on the first Sunday of every month, pretty much on the first Sunday of every month, sometimes because of holidays, whatever, it doesn't happen. But next Sunday, February the 4th, we're having in-person and Zoom hybrid service. So if you'd like to join us in person, please.
We'd love to see you
Yeah, exactly. Love to see you in person. So please join us next week for that. We will have live music, the message, meditation. And you can interact with other folks in this fellowship,
following
that service. So we look forward to seeing you there. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning again, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, January 28th. The key word is free, and the affirmation is divine wisdom, love, and strength guide me to freedom. While I may not be able to control what is happening around me, I have the power to choose my response. Even though it may seem paradoxical, assuming complete responsibility for my actions and choices is the key to my freedom. No one and nothing can make me feel a certain way. Living from this awareness gives me the power to create my life from the inside out. I choose my thoughts, words, and actions. If I don't like what my life is showing me, I have the power to make new choices. I do not squander my spiritual freedom. Other people and worldly situations have no control over me. Taking full responsibility for my life, I am free to create my future by living from my divinity. And the scripture reading is 1 Peter 2:16. As servants of God, live as free people, yet do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So today's lesson is kind of a continuation of last week. And if you notice the title of the lesson, you know, whose will is being done? And that came from a few questions. A few folks had questions about the prayer affirmation we talked about last week, Thy will be done. If you remember, we were saying that one of the best prayers, what they call a non-directed prayer, and we're going to go over those ideas again today, is to just use Thy will be done. And it seems that part of the questioning is from the perspective that the statement Thy will be done makes it seem as if we believe that something outside of us is responding to our prayer requests, which is a legitimate thought. And the other side of the question is, if God is in us, functioning as us, and knows what we want, is it necessary to ask for what we want in prayer? Okay, two very good questions that came up. And, you know, these are fair questions because it does state in Matthew 6:8, you know, in terms of the question of, you know, why do we have to ask God if God already knows? Because it says in Matthew 6:8, therefore, do not be like them, For your Father knows the things that you have need of even before you ask, okay? And the term that Jesus used when he said, do not be like them, he's referring to the Pharisees who are very concerned about outside appearances. And they look for signs in the outer world that their prayers are being answered. However, in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary explains that no sign of the presence of Christ can be given to the Pharisaical mind, a state of mind, for the things of spirit must be spiritually discerned. Okay? Of course, that last part comes from Mark 8, verse 11. So the idea that the things of spirit must be spiritually discerned actually is the journey that we're on. Let me say that again. The idea that the things of spirit must be spiritually discerned, not intellectually discerned, but spiritually discerned, is the journey that we're on. And, you know, there's a profound truth in that statement, because the realm of spirit, which we are striving to enter in consciousness, operates on a very different frequency from our everyday intellectual mind. Okay? In the realm of spirit speaks in whispers, symbols, and intuition that can't always be grasped by our intellectual mind alone. Okay, so this is why spiritual discernment becomes a crucial skill. Okay, spiritual discernment is about cultivating an inner sensitivity, a quiet attentiveness to the subtle nudges and guidance that come from within us. Now, we talk about that quite a bit. So it's about learning to read the language of the soul, and that's what we're talking about, to decipher the messages that bypass our rational thoughts and speak directly to our hearts. Okay? And of course, this doesn't mean abandoning our reasoning mind altogether, you know, because it has helped us in so many ways throughout our lives. So we're not talking about getting rid of something. We're talking about entering into something that gives a greater access to the universal mind, okay? So a healthy spiritual journey involves a balancing act between blending the insights of our mind with the wisdom of our spirit, okay? Now, this may sound like a different slant on how we typically talk about the spiritual journey, okay? Blending the insights of our mind, our reasoning mind, our intellect, with the wisdom of spirit, okay? So, again, like I said, it might not sound like how we talk about, but there is a time and place for each one of these. So we do the work to cultivate and activate our spiritual mind through the practice of what we already know, such as mindfulness and meditation, silence and reflection, which helps quiet our mental chatter so we can better tune into the subtle frequencies of our spiritual mind, okay? So as we continue exploring this, it's a God in me concept, okay? It may be helpful to contemplate the idea that God is in me as me, seeking to express through all that I am and all that I think and do, okay? So we have this divine wisdom within us that is always open to flowing through us and adding a greater dynamic to our life experience, okay? The way we see life, the way we approach life, the way we think about life. And as Eric Butterworth expressed, the divine is not in us as a raisin is in a bun, but it's more as Paul explained in 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, do you not realize about yourselves that the Christ is in you, expressing as you, okay? But before this divine idea can work in our lives, we each need to ask ourselves, how deeply do I believe this? How deeply do I believe and embrace and live from my divine inner Christ self? Which is what we're referring to when we pray, thy will be done, okay? To this inner divinity, this inner divine guide that we have within us, okay? So, you know, so again, thy will be done. Do we believe? Do I even believe that there's anything divine about me or within me? So that's a whole other question, okay? So that is what contemplative prayer is for. You're asking questions like that, which are legitimate questions when it comes to the spiritual aspects of ourselves, okay? So contemplative prayer helps us with that. It helps us to discern these questions for ourselves. And to repeat the explanation of contemplative prayer from last week's lesson, okay, we read that contemplative prayer is when we use our minds and hearts and sometimes our imaginative ability to recognize God's presence and fix our gaze on God. It seeks to achieve a union with God and is characterized by quiet, stillness, and simply resting in God's presence. Okay. And yes, I agree that there are things in our lives that we need and feel this intense inner desire to ask God for. Okay. And when you feel the need to do so, it is because that is your divine right, okay, to ask, all right, directive prayer, as we talk about direct prayer, ask in whatever way, and you ask whatever way is working for you, whatever way works best for you in those times that you had this need to really just pray and ask God to please do this for me or give this to me or whatever it is. Okay. However, what we're ultimately trying to achieve is to reach a state of consciousness that will allow us to break through the barrier that prevents us from entering to what the ancients called the Holy of Holies, which is in Hebrews, the inner chamber, the secret place of the Most High, what Jesus called the Father within, and the kingdom of God within you. Okay, all of these are ways that have been explained about this divinity that exists within us. But the trouble we're having is there's a veil, there's a block that's keeping us. So through the consciousness of Jesus Christ, this barrier between our mind and our inner chamber, or Holy of Holies, whichever one you want to use, has been torn open. We read in Matthew 27:51, that at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And again, we have seen in the history of humankind that when one person achieves something, it sets the stage in human consciousness for others to achieve. As Dr. Carl Jung says, you heard me say over and over again, that every generation stands on the shoulders of the generation that came before them. And we can see that in our children who are, say, for example, much more adapted technology than we may be. They almost come into the world knowing how to do these technological things that we might still struggle with, okay? So it's the idea is that once one human achieves something, then you find many other humans also can do the same thing. And there are very specific explanations of this verse, the verse in Matthew 27:51. But for the purpose of this lesson, this idea of veil being torn from top to bottom, we're going to look at it as meaning the separation has been removed between our ego consciousness with all of its perceptions of its wants and needs. Separation has been removed between that and our Christ consciousness, where there's only the desire for divine connection, giving us the divine capacity to enter into our inner room and pray the non-directed contemplative prayer. Okay. So, as we read in Matthew 6:5-15, when you pray, go into your inner room. That inner room is what we've been talking about. When we said the ancients called it in many different names. Close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is needed in secret will reward you. Okay? So the Father, that Father, which I know disturbs some people, that's the vernacular used at the time in the Bible, at the time the Bible was written, to refer to the divine aspect that is the very essence of every one of us and connects us with the infinite potential of the universe. Okay? So we translate words metaphysically, as you know, to understand what they mean in this day and time higher than what is actually written, right? And again, we're not negating the power of praying out loud. Okay, let's be real clear. We're not negating the power of praying out loud, especially to directly support and uplift the spirit of ourselves. Sometimes we just need to pray out loud, okay? And to support ourselves, maybe to support individuals or to support a group. You know, it's necessary to pray out loud to just uplift everybody's spirit. Directed or intercessory prayer was actually used by Jesus. So when we talk about praying out loud, we're talking about typically directed prayer. Father, you know, please help us with this. Please do this, you know, whatever. Please help this group, help this individual. You know, that's very directed prayer. It's called intercessory prayer, okay? But that was actually used by Jesus to pray for specific results. We read in, read this specifically. He specifically directed intercessory prayer in the 17th chapter of John. In this prayer, Jesus first prayed for himself, then for his apostles, and then for all who would accept salvation through him, meaning, you know, understanding this dynamic idea that we are sons and daughters of the Most High, okay? So he said he's praying for all those. And at that prayer in the 17th chapter of John is extended to all future generations. So we're not negating intercessory prayer or directed prayer. Rather, we're exploring the prayer possibility that exists on the other side of the veil, the place within us that is the holiest of holies, the place where the most powerful, impactful prayer occurs when we enter the inner room of our own being, the room on the other side of our thoughts that are linked to our perspectives of what we feel we need or what we feel we've done, okay? We're looking to get to that other side. That's the whole reason for practicing mindfulness and meditation and sitting in the silence and so forth. So if you think about the title, Whose Will Is Being Done? Directed prayer can be paired with My Will Be Done. Let me say it again. The title is saying, Whose Will Is Being Done? Okay, last week, Thy Will Be Done. But we have to ask, Whose will is being done? Typically directed prayer, Father, please do this, please do that, please, you know, we give God a laundry list. That is my will be done. Non-directed prayer is being open and receptive to God's will be done. And the problem, as we shared in the beginning of this lesson, is that for some, thy will be done denotes that something outside of us is making things happen. However, basic New Thought belief that has its foundation in Scripture, John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. That leads us to understand that the nature of God is not in any way anthropomorphic. Yes, it is outside of us, but is also within us. As we shared many times before, we are like the fish in the ocean. We are in it, and it is in us. There is this sense of oneness, okay? And ultimately, the statement, worship God in spirit, is a personal call to connect with the universal divine in a genuine and meaningful way, okay? So worship God in spirit is a personal call to connect with the universal divine in a genuine and meaningful way. It encourages us to move beyond the constraints of external forms and enter into a deeper relationship with God. Guided by our hearts, the Holy Spirit, and our understanding of the divine. And that understanding keeps evolving as we continue to do contemplative prayer, because you are contemplating your thoughts and feelings and emotions about your relationship with the universal spirit. So this interpretation by Jesus, worship God in spirit, emphasizes the immaterial nature of God and the potential for our prayer to transcend any outside physical perception of God. And if we can come to the conscious understanding that there is nothing external to direct our prayer to, then we can become more open to the possibility that this power and presence we call God is actually individualized within us as us, individualized within you as you, individualized within me as me. So think about the notion that our non-directed prayer, contemplative prayer, think about this, a non-directed prayer for peace in the world, for example, can be answered when I become peaceful. So if I'm praying in a non-directed fashion and I'm open for peace in the world, you're putting that thought into the universe. But that can't become possible until I become peaceful. Or that our non-directed prayer for more love in the world can only be answered when I become more loving. So I am the origin of non-directed prayer. Whatever I'm asking for the universe has to be within me, okay? So non-directed prayer must become real in me before it becomes real outside of me, if that makes sense. But on the other hand, in an article I used part of in last week's lesson, it explains the impact of directed prayer. It says, this whole directed prayer process contradicts natural law and the workings of life's creative process because it represents an attempt to manipulate rather than cooperate with life. The long-term results are invariably destructive, yet human beings have become so habituated to this politics of manipulation that they can no longer even conceive of anything else. That's kind of a harsh way of saying that we're kind of locked into a mindset of my will be done. Okay, thy will be done, but we're really kind of locked into a mindset of thy will be done. I can see it in myself, and I don't know if you can see it in yourself. Okay, we are always typically, almost without thinking about it, moving towards my will be done instead of thy will be done. My will be done is directed prayer. Thy will be done is non-directed prayer. Okay, and if we each really think about it, we will realize how true the statement is. We want things to be the way we want them, and typically nothing else will suffice. But listen to how the author of this article explains how we often use directed prayer in a way that conflicts with how others are also using directed prayer. He explains, regarding the wars that are currently raging in the Middle East, I'm sure combatants on different sides are praying for their version of God to lead them to victory. Okay, both sides are praying to whoever, whatever their God is, says, please, God, lead us to victory. And the families on both sides who have sons and daughters in the combat zones are praying for their safety. Churchgoers, mosque attendees, anti-war demonstrators, and almost everyone also praying for their specific agenda to be done. If we think about it, there is no way all these prayers can be answered to the satisfaction of everyone. However, again, to pray in the manner just described is only natural to our present level of consciousness, how we are on this side of the veil. You see what I'm saying? So long as we're operating on this side of the veil, the side of our ego, our intellect, our personal perceptions, long as we're on, it is only natural to us to pray the directed prayer, asking God to do what we want God to do. But when what we're investigating here is that there is another way to pray. Instead of filling our minds with what we think needs to happen, non-directed prayer guides us to quiet our minds by clearing it of all our limited perceptions. This makes space available in our consciousness for a divine flow to happen. Okay, and as we read in last week's lesson, remember Jeremiah 33:3. It says the unsearchable, when we're doing non-directed prayer, we're opening ourselves up, we're letting, you know, kind of quieting down all the stuff that's going on in our head about what should be done and what we need and all that. Okay, we're quieting that down, practicing mindfulness, practicing meditation, you know, practicing being in the silence, being still. Okay, all that, when we do that, the universe then can show us things that are unsearchable. The unsearchable is revealed to us. Things, as author McLeod, the unknowing, would say, things that are unknown become known. All right. So the author explains that in directed prayer, everything is geared towards the achievement of a specific result that is satisfying to what we believe would be a good outcome. Okay? And typically that's from our perspective. We think it's going to be good. Okay? But in non-directed prayer, all that really matters is opening up our minds, opening our mind and our heart as fully as possible to the flow of life in the moment, so that life's recreative power can have maximum effect in our life. Okay? And just for visualizing purposes, if you think about our mind versus God's mind, as our mind being limited to our ego and intellect, what it knows, and God's mind being the absolute and the infinite, it would be like comparing one grain of sand, which is our mind, to the sand on an entire beach. Okay, just for the sake of it, visualization. Think about that. Our mind, what we believe should be within this moment or in the world or whatever, is like one grain of sand compared to the universal mind, which would be the sand on the entire beach. So the question to ponder is, which would you prefer to live from? Okay? So if you're thinking to yourself, well, which is better? Okay, which is better? That's a hard question to answer. Now listen, both non-directed and directed prayer can be powerful tools for connecting to a higher power and finding strength, comfort, and guidance. Notice, we're not negating either one of them. Okay, they both at different times can be used. You have to listen to your own heart and follow what you feel works best for you, okay? Yes, we're explaining, you know, just for knowledge purposes in terms of the spiritual journey that we're on, the metaphysical spiritual journey that we're on, we're explaining, you know, what the difference is, what the benefit is of directed prayer, telling God this is exactly what I want, and non-directed prayer, being open to, as we used to say, this or something better, but being open to the divine flow of things that are unsearchable, things we have no idea about that could be possible in our lives, okay? So choose the approach that feels most authentic and aligned with your beliefs, directed, non-directed, okay? Is it aligned with your beliefs? Is it where you are in consciousness? What it is that you believe really needs to happen in this moment? Again, Charles Fillmore said, we believe, you know, in this affirmative prayer. But if you need to fall to your knees and say, God, please give me, you do this for me, he said, do it, okay? So when it comes to prayer, what is best may be, what is best may not be a legitimate question. If you say, well, what is best? That's probably not a legitimate question. Ultimately, the most important aspect of prayer is sincerity and heartfelt connection, regardless of the methods, specific methods that you choose. Author Gloria Jean Watkins, an American author, and she's best known by her pen name, which is Bell Hooks. She says, the mind is a transmitter and receiver of energy. When we raise our thoughts to the frequency of love and compassion, we transform ourselves and the world. Okay. So ultimately, spiritual discernment is a lifelong journey. A continuous process of refining our inner compass and learning how to navigate the often uncharted waters in our inner spirit. And it's not about reaching a destination, because rather than deepening our connection with the unseen, the unknown within ourselves, we are on this journey to try to understand what is there in us that is beyond what we even know. Okay. So remember, trust your intuition, listen to your heart, keep your senses open to the wonders of the universe. The answers you seek may not always come in the form of words, but rather as feelings and impressions or a shift in your understanding. So embrace the mystery and allow yourself to be guided by the divine wisdom of your inner spirit. Okay? And I want to leave you with this affirmation to work with for this coming week. It says, Blessed Spirit, I am present. Lead me, guide me, show me the way. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
Wonderful message, John. Thank you. So, beloved of God, let us settle into a comfortable space, breathing deeply in and out. And knowing that with each inhale, you're being brought life, affirming oxygen to the cells of your bodies. And as you exhale, you feel the power and presence of God moving through you and bringing your minds and bodies into balance. So just breathe and know. Feel all areas of your body now relaxing and bringing your mind and heart together. This is the time when you can experience the inner freedom of your soul. In 1 Peter it reads, As servants of God, live as free people. We believe in the power of God to set us free. Now in the quietness of your surroundings, allow my words to be your very own. I may believe in the freedom of others, but sometimes I have a challenge believing in my own freedom. I gain the freedom to do what I desire to do when I stop letting my own negative thoughts control me. If I feel like I have lost the willpower to overcome some dependency, I reclaim it now. I do not wait for someone to rescue me or do what is mine to do. I claim my freedom from negative habits and tendencies as I let the power of God's Spirit within me set me free and keep me free. When I truly realize that I can never be alone in anything I do, I have the courage to claim my freedom. I am free to say no to someone or about something when my decision is the result of divine guidance. Yes, I am free, for the power of God within has set me free. Now let's please take the next few moments in the silence where you may pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. Thank you, gracious Spirit, for lifting me to the higher freedom of my soul. For all these gifts and more, we give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is and forever shall be. Amen.
Wonderful meditation.
Thank you.
So, as we say each week when we come to this part, this is where we open ourselves up to become conscious of all the blessings that the Spirit has brought into our lives. So holding, you know, the wonderful blessings you can bring to consciousness, let's say our prosperity prayer together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies. All that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen. And keeping that same thought process, think about Unity Center of Light, your spiritual home where you get your spiritual food from. And just think about your feeling about supporting and keeping Unity Center of Light alive and vibrant and moving forward. So holding your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, let's say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks
for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen.
Amen.
Now we have light notes.
Light notes for today, January the 28th. It's time once again to consider our annual commitments. This is about our internal reflections and commitment to our spiritual growth in consciousness and creating the life we want to live. The fillable forms are in your updates and your e-newsletter. Join us for our next in-person service on Sunday, February the 4th at 10:30 a.m. with special music from Jennifer Pardee. We meet at the Kenhill Center in Bowie. And inclement weather policies are found in your updates and e-newsletters for live in-person services, so please be sure to check those for details. We are hosting two town hall meetings to discuss how we are preparing for the future of Unity Center of Light and for our annual meeting. On February the 11th, we will have an in-person town hall meeting, and on March the 3rd, we will have a virtual town hall meeting. February 11th, we have Reverend Paul Hasselbeck back with us for our Sunday message and for a metaphysical rump workshop immediately following the service. Sunday, February the 14th, Lent begins. Let go and let God. The Lent discussion group begins Wednesdays on Zoom at 7 p.m. through March the 27th. And Joe Blackstone, Kathleen Bailey, and April May are the facilitators. And the final announcement is Unity Center of Light is looking for a few good candidates to fill positions on the Board of Trustees starting April of 2024. Board members are expected to understand basic unity principles and demonstrate integrity and commitment. Please email Patty or call her for more information. And I am complete.
Okay. All right. So
now it's time to bless the path?
Yes. You ready?
Yes. So we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right. Now our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So, it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope that you enjoyed it and found spiritually fulfilled. Again, remember, next Sunday, February the 4th.
In person.
In person, so we look forward to seeing you there. But other than that, have a wonderful week. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.